So this is Northeast Corner, huh?
Yes, yeah, Maine Public Radio.
All right.
Nice. It's so great to have you all with us. We're so excited to have you make the trip here to Maine. You've got two shows coming up on the 26th at the beautiful Waldo Theater and the 27th of September at the Hill Arts. Let's talk a little bit about you guys. First of all, how long have the three of you been together as the Kingston Trio?
Well, this version's been out for close to
2022.
Eight years or so.
And Mike, your connection with the Kingston Trio, well, goes back pretty much to the very beginning, right? You were a friend of the Reynolds family?
No, it was actually, I was part of the Reynolds family. My cousin Joan married Nick Reynolds, and I was taken in as part of the family when I was quite young. And so the trio became a part of my life from the very beginning, always was.
And so you were there. I love the fact that you were there during rehearsals, performances by the original guys. That's incredible.
Yeah, I was. I was I was there a lot for all that stuff. Yep, that's for sure.
And Tim, you're a Hawaii native, and you share that with some pretty big names in the folk music world as well.
I did. My dad was stationed at Hickam after the war, and I was born out there. Curiously enough, Honolulu is his hometown, so that was an interesting experience. But the Kingston Trio, as you know, Bob and Dave were from Hawaii, and so we still have that Hawaiian connection, so that's wonderful.
And Buddy, anybody who is a fan of what I think is the best music around, Americana music, knows your work through the years, and you have been playing how many different instruments that you specialize in? You got the banjo today.
Right now I play about 13 different instruments. Unfortunately, session work has kind of slowed down a little bit, so I'm actually looking to sell some of them off.
What is it? And I'll work my way through all three of you, but Mike, let's start with you. What is it about this music that makes it continue to be popular and beloved? I mean, it's been more than six decades now since what we think of as the folk music boom, but it's as popular as ever.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Last night I watched A Complete Unknown again for the second time. I was curious about what I missed. And then I watched a Bob Dylan interview with Ed Bradley afterwards. I
you
think probably
the Pennybaker movie Don't Look Back next, Mikey.
Uh-huh. Say that again, buddy.
I said next you should watch the D.A. Pennybaker's movie about Dylan that came out in 65 called Don't Look Back. That's really interesting.
Oh yes, I do know about that.
Yeah, watch that one next.
But I was thinking about it last night, and I think probably what happened with this music is it was crossover music. Anybody could do it. You could sit in your living room if you had a ukulele or a guitar. It was just accessible to everybody and relatively easy to learn. And I think that's one of the reasons why it caught on. On top of the fact that, you know, we were just at the end of the Elvis Presley, Buddy Holly. What's the other guy's name, Buddy? The rock around the clock dude.
Bill Haley.
Yeah, all those when the life
Elvis went to the army.
When the Life magazine cover came out with the trio, I remember there was a passage in there, and they said, you know, getting past all the noise of rock and roll. There it is.
There's the cover right there of Life magazine. Wow.
Yeah. And when that happened, you know, suddenly folk music in that one photograph changed everything. And the Kingston Trio, regardless of the song Tom Dooley, the Kingston Trio became nationally famous. Just, you know, on the net.
You know, a lot of old folk and old time music is in 2/4 time. And the Kingston Trio put a lot of their folk music that they did into 4/4 time. So it was really kind of like the bridge between Elvis and the Beatles.
Well, I suppose that makes some sense. My perspective on it all, of course, was from a kid, and these guys were larger than life characters to me, and almost heroic in a sense. So, it felt like everything they said was either brilliant or the law, and that's how I got started and learned and realized that, this was about everywhere I went, kids had guitars and wanted to sing. And there was a place in San Francisco called Coffee and Confusion on Grant Street, and that's where a lot of us would go and play on the open mic on Monday nights. And I played there a lot, and that's where I ran into John Denver and a couple of other guys like that. And everybody was doing it, and that it just took hold. It was easily accessed music, I think, and I think that's the answer to you to your original question.
Tim, buddy, feel free to weigh in on what's kept this music so popular and why it's as ever present today and part of the larger music scene.
The great thing about Americana music, we'll just use that blanket term, is that easily half of the fans play and sing themselves. Maybe not professionally, but around the house and with each other, and at things like the fantasy camp that the Kingston Trio ran for 20 years or something. There's a sense of involvement in there. Like they've got some skin in the game, they feel. So they're very passionate about it for that reason.
Jim, you want to chime in there?
Yes, one of the things that's most exciting about it is that, as Mike was saying, it is accessible music. People saw the trio, they heard these songs, they started singing them and realized that they were basic chord structures. You could play, you could learn three chords and play hundreds of songs, thousands of songs. And a lot of people started digging out family guitars and banjos and fiddles and mandolins from back closets and strumming in the living room, where we all learned to sing with our families in the living room and on the back porch. And a lot of young people suddenly realized that the music was accessible, and not only could they play it, but they could make their own music. And that was one of the things that the trio did, was make this music accessible to a whole generation of young people who became prominent singer-songwriters down the line. And one of the things they did early on was foster the singer-songwriter, people like Tom Paxton, Bob Dylan, Gordon Lightfoot. A lot of these people got their start with being exposed to the Kingston Trio. Crosby, Stills, and Nash learned to play because of the Kingston Trio. They were an important influence in making young people pick up instruments and start making their own music.
We're talking with the Kingston Trio. And part of this is a tradition that goes back, obviously, to the Weavers, to Woody Guthrie, but in many ways, all the way back to, gosh, people like Robert Johnson, like Jimmy Rogers. And it's that tradition of storytelling through music.
And the Carter family too. Let's
Yes.
not forget them. So yeah, it's all about storytelling, and that's something that is also common in country and Western music as well, is that people like to hear a good story. And that's probably one of the reasons why you'll find that young people who are into Americana music or play Americana music, they revere the older artists in a way that people are into dance pop do not. So, we're kind of like the, as the kids would say, we're kind of like the OG old time group for them. So we're starting to get a lot of them showing up at our shows and bringing their own instruments or buying their own instruments and buying or starting their own groups and things. It's amazing. Mike's got a great story about that from a show that we did in Montana.
Yeah, show he's talking about a 15-year-old kid came to our show. We talk about this in our concert. A 15-year-old kid came to the show reluctantly. He was with his grandmother,
She brought him
and
under duress.
she brought him under
He sat there
duress.
with his arms folded, with, as my mother used to say, a puss on his face.
Yeah, he was very upset, and we could see him, but he lightened up over the course of the show. And after the show, he asked me what kind of guitar I said, and I had any. I said, well, it's a Martin D28, and then we can return to Billings about 3.5 or 4 years later, and he was like 19 or 20, and he had his own trio over at the university, and he knew all the songs and then some. And
We had a Martin D28.
he had a Martin D28, or a
He brought his
Japanese
grandmother
version
under
of it.
duress.
And at the end of the day, it's like getting the music out there. The only way the music's going to get out to the new generations. And by the way, there's three generations that have been born in the last 30 years that do not have their own musical identity. Like we had our musical identity with Elvis and the trio and the Beatles, and the next generation had, Crosby, Stills and Nash and the Eagles and so on and so forth. But these three generations, past three, they don't have a solid music identity, and that could be one of
There isn't one hit parade anymore, and that's why, it's everything. There's so many different genres, it's
It
they're
could be
all
the
split
reason
up.
why it could be the reason why they're we're having young people show up at the concerts.
But that's a
Exactly.
great point too, when you think about the glory days of AM radio, when you might hear the Kingston Trio and then a Beatles song, and then, oh, look, there's James Brown all
Right.
together.
And then Sinatra, and
Yeah.
then Victory at Sea, and then Sergeant Barry Sadler. I mean, what a musical education. Well, that's gone, and so is education, musical education in schools. So here's your result,
Well, I work in the arts in high school, and you're absolutely right. That is under threat on a pretty much daily basis here.
Even
As
more
far as
so now.
the songs go, my gosh, Tom Dooley, of course, I know must still get the big reaction. But I was wondering, when you play shows here in New England, do you get as big a reaction for Tom Dooley as you do for MTA?
It's kind of a toss-up.
Yeah,
It's kind of a toss-up.
I think we are, interestingly enough, that you should say that. Yes, we always get a round of applause on MTA, and the audience becomes involved in the song, that's for sure. On Tom Dooley, we usually just get a big round of applause because we don't spend a lot of time setting up that song in our show. It's towards the end of the evening, and Tim always says, please join us where it all started. And that's how we sort of wrap up the hit songs. But
I
there's
feel like you're
18.
giving away all of our trade secrets, Mikey.
There's 18 songs on our song list that are all very, very recognizable to the audience. And, and I'm always surprised at some of the sing-alongs that happen on these songs.
You all have such deep ties to the music and connections to the original guys. Is there a sense when you're out there? I know you're in the moment when you're performing, but do you think about at all, maybe on the road and when you're traveling, the great traditions of the Kingston Trio, because they were not just successful in their own world. When you talk about Buddy, the crossover hits, I mean, the Kingston Trio are as successful as one of only a handful of recording groups in the history of popular music.
Right.
We
Tim?
call our tour the Keep the Music Playing Tour for a reason.